Good morning. Let's join together in the call to worship that can be found in your bulletin or on the screen in front of you. Let us remember what our God has done. Let us remember what our God has done. Let us remember what our God has done. Let us remember what our God has done.
God has made us caretakers of the earth.
Let us complete our task in faithfulness. Let's join together by standing and singing hymn number 145, Morning Has Broken, and you will find the words on the screen. Let's stand and sing.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the the rains new fall, light from the heaven, like the first dewfall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise with mourning, God's recreation.
Please be seated.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and waters and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. The second day, God said, "Put an expanse between the waters on the earth and the waters above." And God called the expanse sky. On the third day, God said, "Let dry ground appear and separate the waters on the earth." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, plants and trees." The land produced plants and trees bearing fruit according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. The fourth day, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the sun to govern the day, and the moon to govern the night. He also made the stars and set them in the expanse of the sky. And God saw that it was good. On the fifth day, God said, "Let the waters be filled with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every winged bird according to its kind. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested.
And now, if you will join me in our offertory prayer, which can be found on the screens in front of you or in your bulletin. Creator and architect of the universe, you, Lord, created the night and the day, the weeks and the months. We convinced ourselves that one day was for worship, when we know in our deepest being that every day and every moment is a celebration in worship of your love. As we offer our gifts this morning, stoke us in fire to live every one of our days as a testament to your love. We pray it in Christ's name, who in love died for us. Amen.
As we remain standing, let's join together in singing hymn number 75, All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
As we begin our time of prayer this morning, I hope that you will remember those prayer concerns that have been sent out via email this week, as well as those that are on your hearts. In addition, I'd like for us to remember our teachers and our students and our parents, and even our college students, those who have started school or are beginning to start school, and the busyness of that. And so let's remember that as we go to God in prayer this morning. We'll join together in the prayers of the people litany that we've been using throughout our revival. You're welcome to pray out loud. Let's go to God. Together, let us pray for the people of this congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Together, let us pray for those who suffer and those in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Together, let us pray for the concerns of this local community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Together, let us pray for the world, its people, and its leaders. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Together, let us pray for the Church Universal, its leaders, its members, and its mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And together let us pray for the communion of the saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Howdy, everybody. Did you have a good week? Did God bless you? Did you wake up? All right, you were blessed. You were blessed. Our text today comes from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, because they just can't seem to get it together. The fifth chapter, excuse me, verses 16 through 21, and today I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. I invite you, if you will, to listen to this passage. Oh, sorry, Nick. You're just going to deal with the coffin. This is a passage that you've heard many, many times, so I just want you to relax. It's not going to be on the screen. I want you to relax. Try to hear it for the first time. It goes like this. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since Christ is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For the word of God is scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Holy, awesome, wonderful God, thank you. Thank you for your creative power. Thank you for creating us. And thank you for this moment of where we've worshiped you in song, in our giving, and our speaking with each other, in our listening, in our liturgy, in our hearing of your word. And now, O God, may we worship you through the spoken word. Help us just for a few minutes to set aside our to-do list, our preconceived notions of what a sermon is supposed to be. May we even set aside what church is supposed to be. And clear our minds and our hearts that we may receive. And Lord, if I am not the one to bring your word, I will gladly step aside. Because all I want in this moment is for you to be lifted up, for you to be glorified, and for you to be praised. We need you, Lord. We need your creative spirit to move among us, to move away all that has separated us from you since last we gathered. We need you to fill us with your spirit, that we may be complete and whole. So come, Holy Spirit, come. And be present in our hearts. Amen. Today we begin a journey of looking at our story. And our story begins with creation. And I want to tell you a story about a town that was fictitious, then it became real, then it became unreal again. It's called, you can't see it very well on the map, but Aglow. Back in the 1930s, they had these map makers that would go out and chart the United States and the roadways. And they would spend lots of time and money figuring out where all the roads were, and they would publish these maps. And then these gas companies would take these maps and put their names on it. Well, then began this whole debate about whose map was it. Was it the Esso Gas Company's map or these little companies that made these maps? Okay, so they got into this big thing. So these map makers, to prove that they had made the map, they would make up these little towns and put it on the map, okay, so as to say, we actually made this map. And this is a true story. I found this on NPR. And you can go to www.npr.org, and it's there, okay? So these map makers made up this map in upstate New York called Aglow, all right? So when Esso Gas Company made this map, eventually what happened was these map makers said, aha, you stole our map. Well, they got into the court system and whatever, and then along came this big map company, you probably heard of them, called Rad McNally, who bought out the company who bought out the company who made this map, right? And so the small company said, the original owner said, Rad McNally, you have our original artwork. Well, Rad McNally said, no, there in the court case says, no, there really is a place called Aglow, because we went there, and there's a general store called Aglow General Store. And the story is that someone built this general store there, and they saw this map from the Esso Gas Company that said there was an Aglow city or town. And so they said, well, there must be an Aglow town. So they named their general store Aglow General Store. So anyway, there was a fictitious town that wasn't really there, that had been created so as to protect the rights of this map-making company, that then became a town that wasn't, that was. Well, anyway, long story short, there really isn't a glow. Rag McNally had to admit there wasn't. And up until 1992, you could actually type in on Google Maps a glow and it would show up. But you can't do that anymore. Just a week before this story appeared on NPR, they took it down. So there was a town that was created that wasn't real, that became real, that is no longer real. I'm awful glad God doesn't work that way, that what God creates stands. In the beginning, God created. And the Hebrew word for that we see there as bara, which means to shape, to form, to fashion, or to create. Yet there's this little known meaning to it that when I went to research and fell into the rabbit hole that I fall into, means to feel or to fatten. Think about it. God filled creation with God's essence, God's being. And you see that used when God is talking about God filled humankind with God's image. When God made man, God filled humankind with God's image. Let that sink into you. You were created with the image of God that filled you. That might change how you feel about yourself, huh? And it's not just you. It's all of humankind that God filled with God's image. And you know how God creates? God speaks. You saw in the video, God spoke. God's ruach, God's breath, caused creation to happen. And God continues to create. And God's intent for his creation is right there in those first verses. What did God call creation? Excuse me, what did God call creation?
Good.
God called it good. God's original intent was that creation would be good, and God would, and that creation would be in union with that image of God. That God, that creation would be good, and that it would be unified in harmony, and that continue to be in love. What we know about God is God suffers when creation suffers. When creation is not in harmony, when creation is not unified, God suffers. What we also know is God is constantly seeking the redemption of all of creation, seeking to bring back creation to its original intent. We know that about God. We also know that creation groans to be back into the original intent. So fast forward to Paul, what Paul was saying when he wrote to the church, house church at Corinth. We know that we went from chaos to order to chaos, did we not? You know there's chaos in the world, do you not? Turn on the news. Look at your own life, right? There's chaos. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. A new creation. Moving from chaos to order. In other words, let's think about this. You ever considered how your eyes work? I do. I just went to the doctor a couple of weeks ago when she put those stupid drops in my eyes and they went... And they stayed that way all day long. It looked like I was on drugs, right? But light goes into your eyes and it hits the back of them onto the retinas and sends shock waves to your brain, right? And the brain interprets that. That is sight, but that is different than vision, is it not? Right? Vision is something very different. Vision is being able to interpret our world. I think of new creation as having a different vision, a different way of seeing the world. Jesus' way of having vision is often very different than mine. For example, one day Jesus is sitting at a well in the heat of the day, and someone comes to get water because she can't get water in the cool of the day. Because of the gossips in the town. You know the busybodies. Y'all know them, right? They get on their cell phones just about time church gets out. And they talk about what the preacher wore that day. I look good, so y'all go ahead and talk about me when you get out. Wearing my favorite color today. Or they talk about who didn't show up. Or who sat with who, or who didn't talk to who. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? I do too. Or somebody who gets off, comes home from Kroger, and they heard the latest in the produce aisle. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Or they went to work and they heard the juiciest thing about their coworker. Mm-hmm. One cubicle over. And they can't wait to get home so nobody can hear them. Y'all know that insidious trait that we have of talking about each other. Y'all do know that in Scripture there's more verses about the tongue and gossip than there is about any other sin, right? But the town people have been talking about her for a very long time. Now, she was no saint. She had a past. She had trouble with men. But she came to the well. Jesus had a different vision of her. He didn't see her as that woman. He didn't see her as an object. He saw her as a whole person, as a child of God, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of grace. That was Christ's vision. He saw her like he sees me, like he sees you. Someone whose relationship with the Almighty needs healing. And what did he do? He did the very same thing that God did in the book of Genesis. He spoke. He issued forth the breath of God because he was God. He spoke to her. And in speaking to her, he offered her new creation. He offered her a way back into realizing that she had been filled at her creation with the image of God. He offered her a way back into the community of love and grace that she had been exiled from by those who had spoken her out of. You see, that's what God does. That's what Paul is speaking about, is to speak us back into new creation, speaking us back into wholeness, speaking us back into completeness. It's a question of the heart, really. And the difference between Jesus and us, I think, is heart. Jesus had a heart of peace. He saw people not as objects to be cast aside or to be used for his own pleasure. His heart was at peace because he saw people as people. And so many of us have hearts at war, and we don't even know it. Hearts at war that really see people as objects. Oh, we think we're good people, but we don't see everyone as whole people. I've been reading a book, I've read a book, I want to recommend to you, or offer it to you. It's called The Anatomy of Peace by the Arbinger Institute. And it speaks a lot about this, hearts at peace, hearts at war. It's a very easy read, and I guarantee you it will open your eyes. It will create for you a different vision, The Anatomy of Peace. And it's been used by individuals, by groups. It's even been used by the leaders of our own denomination as we sit in this moment of turbulence in our church. It's been used by parents who are dealing with difficult teenagers. Difficult teenager, they kind of go together. But for Christ, everyone, regardless of their past, is a whole person. Even if they're different than us. And so many times in my own life, when someone is different than I am, or someone has gotten on my last good nerve. And we all have them. Can I get a witness? I begin to see them as other. I begin to see them not quite as a full person. And thus my heart begins to become a heart at war. I'm not at peace. I'm not a new creation. And I begin to stray from the path of that new creation. I want to do what in chapter 3 of Genesis says, where Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the cool of the evening in the garden, where they knew God face to face, which I think is the original intent of creation. But my sinfulness, my tendency not to be completely vulnerable and open to people, which means I'm not completely open and vulnerable to God, prevents that. I haven't allowed the old to pass away and allow everything to become new. Maybe I'm the only one here that wants that. Maybe I'm the only one here that needs that. But I need to stop my old habits of thinking, and I need to become in Christ and not outside of Christ. And to do that, I've got to give up my old way of thinking. And when we do that, collectively and individually, we return to that moment of union with God where we can reach out and touch God with no barrier between and become newly created. Oh, what a joy. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn is "This Is My Father's World." It's in our hymnal 144. If you need to use the hymnal, it'll be on the screen as well. If you'd like to come to our altar for prayer for whatever your needs is, the altar is open. But I invite you to stand as you are able. This is my Father's world.
standing, receive this benediction. May you, my brothers and sisters, go from here with a heart of peace, seeking to see God's creation as it is, whole and loved by God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. For our congregational benediction, let's join together in singing the first verse of the summons, which can be found on page 2130 of your hymnal.
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you?
Peace.